Chapter 7. Four Letters to a Leading Missionary Worker in Africa. Letter A. North Fitzroy, Victoria. July, 1892. Dear Brother, there are lessons for each child to learn in the line of firm trust and implicit obedience. Jesus gave his life for us, that we should not perish, but believe in him and have everlasting life. And shall we distrust God for one moment when he has given us such evidence of his love? No, no, my soul cries out for the living water of life that I may refresh others. As a people, we must practice self-denial and economy. Every soul should make a covenant with God by sacrifice. We should not expend money in extra expensive clothing and rich furniture. We are pilgrims and strangers seeking a better country, even in heavenly. Time is short, and every dollar not necessary to be used in supplying positive wants should be brought in as a thank offering to God. It is the Lord's, and the Lord has presented to me that houses of worship and schoolhouses should be erected through this country and in the islands of the sea. That our leading men should not build for display or to gratify ambition and pride. If the Lord has favored them above their brethren in other countries, let them in true liberality assist those who greatly need to be helped to find a standing place and give character to the work. The Lord is no respecter of persons or of places. The work is one great whole. The world is our field, and I have made decided appeals to our brethren in America to bind about their wants and to devise and plan everything in a simple, modest, comfortable style that corresponds with our faith. When I consider that the Lord has placed ample means in the hands of his servants to be used not improvidently, but wisely, not extravagantly, but economically as the case seems to demand, there would not be a dearth of means in the treasury, but an ample supply to meet the demands for this time, to plant the banner of truth in many dark places of the earth. But the blessing which the Lord has bestowed upon his stewards, with few exceptions, is misappropriated, bound up in selfish enterprises where God does not direct. Carefully should every dollar be considered, that it shall not be expended to please fancy, to administer to pride in expensive buildings, but to administer where there is a necessity, working in lines where God is working to establish his kingdom in the earth, in harmony with the prayer given by Christ, "Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Let the works harmonize with the prayer, for men are the human agents through whom the divine agents are working. We are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. The Lord's work calls for laborers everywhere. As God bountifully gives, we should deliberately, prayerfully resolve that we will honor God with our substance and with the first fruits of our increase. All things belong to God, and all the good which man enjoys is the result of divine beneficence. He is the great and bountiful giver. God lays his hand upon all possessions and says, "I am the rightful owner of all these goods." Oh, that the hearts of the people of God would be moved! To every man to whom the Lord has entrusted goods will come the temptation of the enemy to withhold it from its rightful channel. Satan will seek to divert the means so that it shall not serve the cause of God. Souls are perishing for the bread of life, for the waters of salvation. There is no time now for the building of grand edifices. Let everything be done with an eye single to the glory of God. We are to lift up the cross of Calvary before all nations, tongues, and people, but instead of doing this, many are hiding their talents of ability under a bushel, and the means which should carry forward the work is buried in the world. Lift the cross higher, that many may behold, and look and live. Christ died for the world, and his command is, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature." The Lord would give us no such commission without placing resources at our command sufficient for the work. Will men act the part of faithful stewards, appropriating God's means where he designed it should be used? Shall souls famishing for the bread of life be denied the heavenly manna? Who will sacrifice for Christ's sake? Who will present in its rich fullness the righteousness of Christ? Will the church who claim to believe the truth, the blood-bought church, do this work? If you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, if His love can move your heart and His glory be dear to you, be faithful to your trust. Unite your influence with that of the heavenly agencies and devote your God-given energies, your entrusted talents, to the work of saving souls. Your talents will increase by winning souls to Christ. Paul may plant, Apollos water, but God giveth the increase. God calls for the cooperation of a devoted church. Their cooperation with Him will prove that they really believe that which they teach. Let the children of God give evidence of their faith by their actions. Everyone is pledged before God to do all that is possible to win souls to Christ. God calls for the dedication of soul, body, and spirit to the work. Unless the truth sanctifies the soul, unless it leads to humility and meekness, self-denial and self-surrender, the enemy will gain influence on his side. Let the effort made be in harmony with sacred truth of heavenly origin. The Holy Spirit will be imparted, and the church will be consistent, and will fulfill the injunction, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee." They will live not unto themselves, but unto Christ who died for them, and rose again, and liveth to make intercession for the saints. In God we can do valiantly, for the Lord will move upon the heart by His Holy Spirit, and add daily unto the faith of such as shall be saved. How I long to direct our brethren in America to look to Jesus, to study His life and character, and manifest disinterestedness, self-denial, and devotion to the service of Christ, becoming thereby a power for good in the world. Brother Blank, tell all who labor in Africa that they must have characters that can be identified as Christ-like. Property will not give us a character, but union with Christ will invest every movement we make with interest, give power to all our actions, and bring us into harmony with Christ's perfection. Letter B. Sunnyside, Kurenbong, September 2, 1896. Dear Brother Blank, I would be pleased to see you and your family, but do not expect that I shall enjoy this privilege. May the Lord give you increased faith and courage in Him. Do not depend on any man to be brains for you. Think and put every God-given ability to the tax. Expect that the Lord will work in and by and through you. Do not lose your zeal. Do not submerge your identity in any human being. You may be safely one with God. You may hide your entire self in Him. Be no man's shadow. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. The Word and the Spirit agree. The instrument and the agent cooperate together. The truth is represented as the sword of the Spirit. No tame message must come from our lips. The Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. This makes the Word a power. Do not, I beg of you, sink down into a faithless position. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Believe without a doubt that God hears your prayers. If you feel weak and unworthy, He is your strength. The Word is abundant in promises from God to us, and the Spirit helps our infirmities to plead these promises. The Word shows the way. The Spirit helps us to walk in it. You need to cling to the Lord with all your might. The Word is the seed of the Spirit, and the Spirit is the quickening power. Be firm and full of faith and trust in God. I feel deeply in regard to the missionary work in South Africa. I do hope you will not look to men, nor trust in men, but look to God and trust in God. We may expect large things, even the deep movings of the Spirit of God, if we have faith in His promises. Our greatest sin is unbelief in God. Has He not shown us how precious we are in His sight, and with what value He regards our souls by giving us Jesus? We are required to unite our souls with Jesus Christ, that we may have no tame, commonplace experience. Stand in God. Work with full confidence in God. Daily, a genuine conversion is needed. Unite your heart with God by clinging faith. He is the friend of sinners. You are invited to join your weakness to His strength, your ignorance to His wisdom, your nothingness to His merits, your frailty to His enduring might. Will you do this?
I beseech of you, by the mercies of God, that you lean wholly upon Jesus Christ. In the place of turning your eyes to Battle Creek, turn your eyes to heaven and call upon God. It is a terrible education that our people have been receiving to ask counsel of man instead of going to God, the source of all wisdom, grace, and efficiency. His church is married to Him and is to become a sharer in His kingdom, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. The joint heir has the assurance that he shall be loved as God loves His Son. Seek for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You must stand in your God-given personality before heaven. Your heart must be united with Christ's heart, your life knit with hidden links to His life. Because He lives, you shall live also. Your interests must be bound up with the interests of Jesus Christ. Then you will be kept by faith in the power of God. Talk faith. Sow the seeds of faith. Reach up your hands heavenward for help. Arm yourself with the mind that was in Christ Jesus. You can place far more confidence in God, who gave His only begotten Son to die for your sin, if you will only pray to God, and not pray so much to Battle Creek, to human beings who are erring. Join yourself to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that will not be forgotten. The Lord is willing and anxious to teach you. Will you be taught by Him, or must your teaching come by way of Battle Creek? You have the privilege of becoming strong in God. Or you may choose to depend upon the powers in Battle Creek and grow weak and uncertain. Look to God and expect Him to guide you, bless you, and help you. He has a heaven full of rich blessings for all who seek them in faith. When you find yourself depressed and you have a sinking time, pray. Hold on by prayer to that arm that was stretched out to hold up a sinking Peter. It will give you courage, vital energy, and pure, unadulterated wisdom. Our people generally are to understand from whence their strength comes. Our reinforcements come from God. In your weakness, lay hold of infinite strength, and the people will see that you have the solid rock of God's promises beneath your feet.
your heart must turn away from human supports. If your heart goes out to Jesus in living trust, you will be strong. You will say, "Brethren, have courage in the Lord." But if the people see that you have a hesitance to venture out and take responsibilities, they will think, "Well, he is weak and cannot advise and counsel us." Be strong and talk hope. Press your way through obstacles. You are in spiritual wedlock with Jesus Christ. The Word is your assurance. Approach your Savior with the full assurance of faith, joining your hands with His. Follow God where He leads the way. Whatsoever He says to you, do it. He will teach you just as willingly as He will teach somebody else for you. My brother, your Christian experience has been too hesitating, too undecided. Change this attitude. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk as one who knows whereof He speaks, and you will have a testimony like Caleb's. We are well able to go up and possess the goodly land. Hold fast to Jesus and offer your prayers to Him and not to Battle Creek. Letter C. Sunnyside, Currambong, September 30, 1896. Dear brother, those who claim to believe the truth in Africa need to have decided, earnest efforts made in their behalf. The struggling little flock need a firm, decided testimony. Christ is the way, the truth, the life. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that is needed. There is with you and with the flock of God a self-satisfied feeling that must be broken up. The Spirit of God is a convincing power. When this is breathed upon the church, there will be a decided change in their spiritual efficiency. The Lord God is ready to give, but many do not realize their necessity of receiving. They are weak when they might be strong, powerless when they might be powerful through receiving the efficiency of the Holy Spirit. Their light is dim. Arouse them from their self-satisfied, self-righteous condition. From those who see the light and truth, the message must go forth with a power that they do not have and do not feel it essential that they should have. When they do take hold upon the Mighty One by living faith, when the truth is to them a living reality, then they will see a work done that at the present they do not dream of. There is a sleepy indifference upon the people who are right upon the borders of the eternal world. They have missionary work to do, decided testimonies to bear. The trumpet is to give a certain sound in warnings, in reproofs, in entreaties. All should put forth earnest labor in seeking to save perishing souls.
What means this deadness? What means this spirit of being self-centered? Time is passing. The end is near. Whom are you trying to save from the pit of destruction? Oh, that God would breathe in these worldly-minded souls. Oh, that they might feel to the very depths of their being that they must watch unto prayer, that they have entrusted talents to be used now, just now, whenever God calls for their gifts to advance His work in our world. Do they hear the voice of God saying, "Ye are the light of the world"? Imaginations and dreams and a knowledge of the truth are not enough. Every believer is to kindle his taper from the divine altar. All are to shine because the light of the truth has come upon them, and they cannot help shining amid the moral darkness of the world. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Read Revelation,
Read from the beginning to the close. Not only read, but study most earnestly, determined to understand. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. Read chapter 2, 1 to 5. There is to be a doing of the first work. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. See also chapter 3, 1-8. I can write but little now. I have written so much for the last mail that I am too weary to write. In the night season, I was speaking to you in the visions of my head upon my bed. I said that the company of believers were neglecting their God-given work. They have been in the condition which Christ represents by the salt without the savor. They need the Holy Spirit, and they will not have it unless they arouse themselves and do the works of Christ. They are to give to the world the light the Lord has given them. Unless they shall practice the truth will not sanctify their own souls, nor the souls of others. With hearts full of earnestness and light, they are to communicate to others the light given them. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Here is your work, leading souls to the fountain of the water of life. All who have the truth in their own hearts as a living principle, an all-pervading influence, will have a living testimony to bear to those who are in the darkness of error. There is, thank God, an ever-living Spirit to guide us into all truth, but it is to be communicated, not shut up to our own individual selves. This Spirit, who will guide us into all truth, must be made known to others and will guide them. The Word, the precious Word, is to be eaten as the flesh of the Son of God. Let there be no listless, sleepy testimonies. Instead of stimulating doubt, strengthen faith by every word, attitude, and practice. Make known that we have a living Savior, a real, spiritual life, to receive and to impart. Guide others who are now on sliding sand to plant their feet on solid rock. There are souls to be revived, many to receive the joy of salvation into their own souls. They have erred. They have not been building a right character. But God has joy to restore to them, even the joy of His anointed. This will give efficiency and happiness and sanctified assurance, a living testimony. Tell the poor desponding ones who have gone astray from straight paths, tell them they need not despair. There is healing, cleansing for every soul who will come to Christ. There is a balm in Gilead, there is a physician there. In hours when clouds encompass the soul, Christ is not far from every one of us. To whom shall we go, if not to the sin-bearer, the great healer of human woe? Thou hast the words of eternal life. There is joy for all who put their trust in Him, and exercise the faith that works by love and purifies the soul. Jesus says, My joy shall be in you, and your joy shall be full. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. A paralysis has stolen upon the spiritual nerve and muscle of the children of God. Arouse now, just now, without delay. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Letter D. Sunnyside, Kurenbong, March 5, 1897. Dear Brother Blank, one thing is positive. You must either mingle more of the oil of love, of tender compassion, with your work, your stiffness and coldness must be melted away, or you will not win your way in such a country as Africa. This country needs men who are as firm as a rock to principle, and who have also the simplicity and love of Christ. These can adapt themselves to the situation. They will not leave upon other minds an impression of sternness and coldness and harshness. You need to be baptized in the cheerful sunshine of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and have far less of the, what shall I call it, the desire to carry out your own opinions, when it would be better for you to believe that your opinions can and should be modified. You need to have that love of Christ in your heart, and then you will win your way. But when any wrong exists among your brethren, you handle it in such a way that it creates in the one whom you think wrong a spirit of resistance and defiance. You have not woven into your work the love, the compassion, and the tenderness of Christ. Had you done this, had you encircled Blank with your love, had you bound him to your heart with the tender bonds of affection, you would have saved him. But you let him drift away, inwardly glad that you would have no more perplexity over his case. I am not writing this to condemn you, but to warn you. Let your tongue be dipped in the oil of the love and grace of Christ. If this love is an abiding principle in your heart, you will know better how to associate with your brethren at all times. You will not stand off so stiffly and hold so firmly to your own ideas, irrespective of the consequences. A correct theory of the truth is excellent and essential, but the love of God, which should baptize all theories, has a power to reach all hearts. This love is what you need. You need the moisture of the dew of heaven, the melting, softening, subduing influence of the Spirit upon your heart. If you had lived in this atmosphere while you have been in Africa, you would have worked as a co-laborer with Jesus Christ, as a restorer. I tell you that which I have not spoken of or written to any other human being. A change must come to you through the moving, melting love of God, a change that will enable you to carry the credentials that you are one who loves souls. I think I have spoken so plainly that you will seek to learn of Christ, his ways and methods, and seek to bring more of the sunshine and joy of the truth, the brightness of the sun of righteousness, into your own individual experience. Let your own heart break. Let the routine and precision be broken down. Look unto Jesus and not to men to be told what to do. Catch the divine light from the light of the world and flash it upon the pathway of others in shaping and molding the work in Africa. The simplicity of Christ, the melting love of Jesus, will speak to hearts when the mere reiteration of the truth will accomplish nothing. Self must not be brought in as a specialty. It must be hid with Christ in God. It is a very delicate thing to deal with human minds. You may stand up stiffly and never, never soften their hearts, or you may come close to the afflicted soul and with a heart full of love lead him away from the enemy's battleground, not drive him there and leave him there to become the sport of Satan's temptations. I will pray for you, but for Christ's sake, seek the meekness, the simplicity, and the love of Jesus. Let his love break down every barrier. Come close to your brethren. You need not countenance wrongdoing in a single instance, but you can impress hearts that you long to cooperate with Christ in saving the souls for whom he has died. I entreat you to seek God.
I urge you to open the door of your heart and let the love and tender compassion of Christ in, and then let it out in tender words and offices of love. May the Lord give you wisdom, is my prayer. Postscript. My brethren, we must all work wisely and intelligently. Ceremonies and forms should not become so essential as to mark out a course whereby the Lord should do his work. The world and all society are looked upon as in disorder. Ideas and methods and skillful inventions are instituted to remodel it, but the system is almost altogether human. The change essential is conversion from error to truth. The temple lies in ruins, and an attempt to build it with the same old material is useless. Only the power of God can transform the character of man, conforming him to the image of Christ in heart and mind. For even the thoughts are to be brought into captivity to Jesus Christ. Only think of the work to be done. God takes fallen man, a worm of the dust, and transforms him, fitting him to be a member of the heavenly family, a companion through eternal ages of the angels and of Jesus Christ. He who submits to this process will see God's face and hold communion with him. All the rounds of ceremony can never fit the human family for membership in the family of heaven. We must submit to the molding, fashioning hand of God. The lethargy of Satan is as a funeral pall upon the people. Insensibility has first to be met and dealt with. The torpor of death must be penetrated. People are dead in trespasses and sins, and they need awakening by the power of God. We must preach Christ and his love to fallen man, in that he took human nature and suffered the ill treatment of men professing godliness. His life was a life of constant self-sacrifice. He was hated, despised, and crucified upon the cross. It was the commander of heaven that thus suffered. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If God gave his Son to atone for sin, sin must be a tremendous evil, grievous in the sight of God and ruinous to man. We who preach the truth to others must have the love of Jesus burning in our own souls. Our lips must be touched with a live coal from off the altar. Then they will be cleansed, not but sanctified words that will melt and subdue the soul will pass from them.